Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome to Friday's QA. I'm just jumping around real quick. Let's see. I think you guys can see me okay already. So not the best week, but I'm glad we're here. I'm glad it's Friday. I've been staying super busy. I'm sure if you guys have been following the channel and or Instagram or any of that stuff, you guys know. Couple things. I thought, I'm not even doing the intro right. All right, let me do the intro right. If you're new to the channel and you're checking out the live show, just keep in mind that everything we talk about, subjects and questions, I will index in the comments down below. If you want to listen to it, you can listen to it as a podcast on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, you name it. I think if it posts a podcast, it's on there. And anyways, so back to this week. A couple updates. I'm going to do updates since that's always a good way to start the show. I asked everybody when I went live on Tuesday when we were talking about the passing of Edward Van Halen that I would donate the Super Chats. I didn't say that I would donate whatever the video earned, but I meant that too. I'm sorry. So basically, today, if you follow me on Facebook, I just put out there that I donated $100. I received almost $50 in Super Chats. And then I think the video is going to make like 100, maybe 150. So what I did is I donated $100 today in the name of the New Year Gear crew, us today. So that's there if you want to check that out and see more information about the charity that I donated to for the cancer charity. And then, like I said in that comment, I'll probably donate another $100. I'm not sure because I got to wait until YouTube updates and tells me what the Tuesday video made. And then just as a side note, I talked to Steve from Boston when he went live and he said, hey, I'm not going to monetize this because Edward Van Halen. I contacted him afterwards and said, hey, just so you know, whenever there's something like this, I agree 100% you shouldn't make money off of something like that. But I said, but the corporate entities are going to get their piece no matter what. So why not just charge, whatever, monetize your videos, but then donate it. So that's what I chose to do. I do that anytime something like comes out, but I just donate the money to a charity. I used to not, thank goodness, one of the patrons suggested that to me once 2 years ago, said, hey, why don't you just give money to charity instead of not do anything with the money? You know what I mean? To say no to the money. Cause like I said, YouTube gets their piece no matter what. So on that note, that's the update on that. I just want to let you guys know the update on that. If you're following the Frankenstrat build, I'm doing a Sharpen My Axe. Dude, I gotta tell you guys, I did that video. Sometimes I have no idea what I'm doing when I just blurt stuff out. Okay. So I just want to share with you how amazing this is. I said in the video, hey, if you want to build a guitar with me, send me pictures of it or a link to your video, and I'd love to do a video sharing all those. I received hundreds. Actually, I have over 600. So say hundreds. Just let you know where it's at. It's over 600 emails so far of you guys submitting either pictures of a Frankenstrat you built or one you're working on currently, or some of you just reached out and said, hey, I'm got one coming. You know what I mean? That reason I'm telling you that is, one, I'm overwhelmed. That's amazing. I'm excited. I will do that video. It's going to be, like I said, don't worry if you're just working on your project now. I said a week to 2 weeks. Obviously, I'm going to figure out what's the right time frame. You know what I mean? So I can give you guys all time to build your builds, and then I'll do a video. I'm getting so many. It might have to be like a show and tell live show. Like I might just have to upload all the pictures and just scroll through them and talk about them and show you guys. Very cool. I'm trying not to look at them. I looked at a few and I was like, cool. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to steal anybody's ideas from my, you know what I mean? Because that's what happens. You look at it and go, that's a good idea. I saw one, I'm not gonna lie. I saw one today. I opened it with my phone and as soon as I saw it, I go, that's amazing. I'm like, what I'm working on is not as cool as that. So, So thank you guys for that. If you're just following along, like I said, I normally when I do a Sharpen My Axe video, you know, I do the one video, but the whole point of this, of course, is to keep me occupied. I'm moving my mic, sorry. Keep me occupied, hopefully keep you guys occupied. It's working, by the way. I was up this morning, 6 o'clock, maybe 5 o'clock, started working around 7, and I just had to go take a shower so I can get all the dust off me and do this live show. I've been sanding all day, and I hate to report this, but I sanded down the glary body on my guitar, down to the wood, stained it with my cool idea. I'm giving that away because I was going to do a stain. I was actually trying. I have paint, too. I'm just not sure what to do. Hated it. But I promised myself, hey, look, see my finger? It's blue. There's a reason I don't have gloves. I promise I just showered and scrubbed and I did everything I can. I used everything I can to get this off my fingers, but it's a little impregnated right now. It's a long story short, I stained the guitar. I didn't love it, but I will show you. I'll probably post it on Instagram tonight or tomorrow, that guitar. I'm afraid that you guys are going to go, oh, that's great. And then I've already decided to go a different route. I'm sanding the guitar back down again. I started already. And starting the next idea on the guitar body. But long story short, my wife does art, and she's art. And because she does art, we don't have very many gloves right now because of COVID, and they were hard to come by. So I chose not to wear gloves when I was staining today because I used gloves when I was using other chemicals. So my hands are stained. All right. I see there's some super chats. I'll get to those in a second. I always try to hit the first question, although I'm gonna do this weird thing with the first question because it's almost impossible to answer. And I'm going to do the first question and then go right to the second question. Randall Vandergriff, your question is a little too tough for the live show, but let me give you the idea. He's saying he just bought a custom 77 guitar, used. It was dirty and missing two knobs. It has a B5 Bigsby. He says, how do I set up the Bigsby? You would just set it up the same way. The Bigsby's still going to have an intonatable. I don't know that guitar. It could have a non-intonatable saddle. But it should have an intonatable saddle. You would set up the guitar by raising, lowering that. The Bigsby really requires nothing other than just a big pain in the ass to restring it. So you set it up the same way you set up any other guitar. There's really going to be no bigger difference. Just make sure you string it correctly through the Bigsby bridge. All right. But that brings me to the second question. And the second question came from Matt Budd, who says, why are consignment fees that guitar stores charge on used gear so high? He says as much as 30%. Now, so you know, I saw somebody mention in the comments a little later that they work at a pawnbroker's and 30% is not high. And I really appreciate you answering those questions because it's always nice to see somebody who does something always answer the question. So let me just give you a simple thing. First of all, yeah, consignment fees are going to range between 10%. I've never heard of really anything more than 30%. There's probably somebody out there doing 40, 50%. 30 has always been on the high, what I've always seen. 20 seems to be always on the norm, 20%. And then 10% is usually really good. Back in the day, it was always 10%. There's a couple reasons. First of all, you got to understand there's a couple things. Whether you consign something, sell something to a store, or trade something into a store, they have to run it through pawn clearance. So there's a pawn fee. There's a fee. Now, keep in mind, I can only talk about where I live. If you live in somewhere else and these laws don't apply, I'm sorry, then they don't apply. But a lot of states in the United States have what's called a pawn clearance, which means requires you to run things through pawn. So you don't even have to be a pawn dealer, a pawn broker, a music store generally that works in you. Heck, a used record store could have to have a pawn clearance. I don't think they fill out. Well, actually, I know they don't. They don't fill out every sheet on every little record that comes in, but they still have to have pawn clearance to be fingerprinted. So anyways, what I'm saying is there's a cost there to them that there's a cost to the fact that now your product's competing with products in their store. Generally speaking, like I've said before, retailers in our industry are going to get about a 30% margin. So they, if they're getting 20% to 30%, they're trying to get something close to what they normally get. But so you know, it's really common. In fact, it's more than common that on used gear, they're going to get 50% markup. That's the goal. Most get more than that. Some get less than that. But the goal is usually if they bought it off you for $100, they flip it for $200. Everybody's kind of familiar with those rules. So the idea that you're consigning it means that they don't have any upfront costs. In other words, they didn't put out any product or money for it. That's the advantage of it. But the disadvantage is, like I said, if it sells, like, let me give you an example. You put a guitar in their wall and somebody comes in and buys that guitar because they always wanted that guitar and they sell it, great, they make some money. But what if the person came in just wanting a guitar and bought your guitar over one of their guitars? They would make less than if they sold you one of their guitars. So there's things that factored in. It's basically it. 30, like I said, 30 seems a little high. The pawn industry is going to be much different than the retail industry. But keep in mind, when I say it's a little high, I don't mean I think it's high. I want to be clear on this. I don't think it's high to charge that. I'm saying for the industry and what the averages are usually 20%. So in today's day and age, so there you go. That's what I think. Now let me tell you, let me tell you what I think. Sorry. To me, in this day and age, if you want to sell your stuff, sell it on Reverb, sell it on eBay, probably Reverb. You can put it on OfferUp. You can sell it on Craigslist. If you go into a store, here's how I look at it. If you go in a store and you want to sell something for $100 and they go, okay, I want 30%, which means you get 70. Well, then either A, they're going to deal with everything. So that's the comfort of dealing with that. Or B, you could sell it on all those other platforms and get more money. And that's absolutely fine. So to me, because I consign from time to time, I like when I consign stuff. If I consign, it's generally because I don't have to deal with it. Now I say that it's kind of not true because my wife would actually deal with it, but still. So to me, if you're consigning, it's really a service fee. So think of it that way. And again, if it feels high to you, don't worry, you have options. So you can just say no. But if you want my opinion, I wouldn't chastise the dealer for charging that. So in my opinion, it was me, more importantly, if it was me and I walked in, I'd be like 30%. I'd be like, all right, you know, keep in mind. Another thing too is, now not only some of them charge more than that too, but some of them have us to give you a 1099. If you sell over, I think it's like $1,000 or something like that, they give you a 1099. So gone are the old days of consigning something for a 10% and then paying you out cash at the end. Those days are gone. Now you'll have records and stuff. So there you go. Let me hit some other questions for you. Hold on a second. I'm scrolling through. All right. Hold on. All right. Let me get to the first Super Chat question, shall we? As I refresh my screen, and is it not going to show them to me? Sometimes I always get a little... There they are. All right. The first one came from Ryan. He says, have a couple Capri Suns on me. You know, it's funny. On Tuesday, obviously, I was drinking a beer. I have been on a diet since April something. Diet is not the right word. I'm not keto. I'm doing what I did before COVID. Before COVID, I was losing weight. I was feeling good. I was going to the gym, which I enjoyed very much with my wife every day. Well, every day is an exaggeration, isn't it? A couple of days a week. COVID happened, and I've now heard it called the COVID 15. Absolutely. I was like 15 pounds easy, maybe a couple few pounds more than that. Maybe. Because it was just nothing but donuts and Cheese Whiz. No Cheese Whiz, but just you get the idea. Just bad decisions. And anyway, so long story short, I've been on good decision now. I literally not drinking sugar. I'm not drinking beer, very little alcohol, but no beer. And, no carbs, no sugar, you know, just being safe. It's been working. So that's why I didn't say it on Tuesday. I should have said, Jake, yeah, I was having some beers. I had beers all last night, Tuesday night. And, but yeah, so long story short, thank you for the Capri Sun, but it's not going to be Capri Sun for me. Frederick John said, slanted humbucker in a Strat, yay or nay. Frederick, I had two videos this week that were supposed to come out. The first one was supposed to come out on Tuesday. It was about the Two Notes product and the Plexi preamp. It was a video that I was really excited about, and I did not release it because I just didn't feel like it. And then that's when I went live to talk about, you know, Edward Van Halen. And then on Wednesday, I released it. Some of you guys know, 318 of you seen that video because I released it. What happened after about 318 views, which is about in the first 5-10 minutes, I just didn't feel right. I just feel like, man, I don't want to talk about pedals. I know I'm not talking about it right now because it's a video. Anyways, long story short, I took the video down. So the point is, I've been doing these Frankenstrat guitar builds to keep my mind, you know, focused and hopefully help you guys keep your mind focused. And so I have a video on slanted pickups versus straight pickups. It was the second one in the series of the no neck humbucker pickup. So I'll have that video next week. That'll release next week. Reggie Wooten, what's up, Reggie? He said, rest in peace, Edward Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen. You know, all week I keep hearing everybody says Edward Van Halen. I've always said Eddie Van Halen, and now I'm saying Edward. I know it's both, it's the same, but I think I'm just going to stick to Eddie Van Halen because I've always said Eddie. It says, Phil, thanks for the live stream. It helped a lot. It helped me a lot. You know, it's funny. I went live. We all talked. And then afterwards, I was lucky enough to spend time talking to my friends all afternoon, all morning, all week. You know, none of us thought it was going to hit us like it did. And I think it's because not only did he mean so much to us, not only is he the person, the influential person that we care about, not only is he this person who started us so many of us on our journey, and if he didn't start us, he started players who started us on our journey. It's just been the worst absolute year, and it's like, this is just the last thing, you know what I mean, you expected, and when it hit you, it was just a little too much. But, so yeah, it's good. And like I said, we're lucky to have him, his music and his instruments and amps, and we'll go on. Let me get to Salil. I'm trying to. It looks like Salil. I'm gonna give it a shot at that. Says Philip, you rock. Not if I got your name wrong. Says thanks for sharing your knowledge. But I think it's Salil. I like I said, I hope it's right. And then give me a second on the other super chats. I want to jump back over on the main page and see what you guys are talking about. Let's see. All right. And again, I should have said it. You guys usually know it, but if you're talking to me, put a question mark at the first. That way I know you're asking me a question or talking to me or, let's see. Hold on as I jump around. Well, this is easy. You guys, none of you talking to me. So I'll just go back over the super chats for a second. Okay. So the next one comes from the trucker. The trucker Ed Show says, I just got a road worn 50 Strat in surf green. Have you tried them? Yeah, I have. I really like them. What's the saying? There's a saying, right? Punching above your something. I swear I had a respirator on today and I did not breathe in all that polyurethane. Punching above your weight class. That's it. Those guitars to me are punching above their weight class. In other words, they're better guitars than I think what you pay for them. They, to me, they feel a lot like some of the $3,000 relic job guitars. Now, of course, they don't have all the aesthetics of those $3,000 guitars in the idea that they seem templated a little bit. Boy, say it twice as fast, huh? Like them a lot. I almost said love them, but I like them a lot. I do. And I think they're good guitars. And you know what's great is they fantastic resale value. Most of them go for the same thing as new because you can't, when they're new, they look used. All right. Shawnee is a Cubs fan, says, hey, Phil, do I see an SG Classic behind you? You do, with P90s. Thoughts on the DiMarzio Super Distortion pickup? I'm getting a bridge version for my Les Paul. Cheers. Love the Super Distortion pickup. It's definitely one of the most iconic pickups of all time. It's one of those pickups that's amazing. It's been recorded probably more than any other kind of pick up, you know, out there. I can't say that for sure, but it's up there, as we all know. Everyone kind of really likes it. And the thing is, though, I think the only negatives about the Superstorsion is it's been so used for so long and it's in so many guitars. I think some people kind of get like, oh, you know, I've been there, done that. But I still love it to this day. I still use it. I will use the Tone Zone as well. So, you know, the Tone Zone is like the Superstorsion, just a little bit fatter, beefier, low end. And so you guys know, because some DiMarzio person is going to go, hey, man, that's not true. Larry DiMarzio told me that. So that's why I put a Tone Zone in a guitar, because I was like, but I love the Super Distortion. So yeah, you can't go wrong with that. It's a classic pickup. I think it's actually up there with all the other classics like PAFs and stuff. So definitely an iconic pickup with an iconic sound. Okay, then we have Jeff Parker says, I bought an Ibanez RG1550. I don't know how you say that. Say 1550 or is it a 1550? I never know with Ibanez. It's a 2008. Whoa. I bought an Ibanez RG1550M 2008 Prestige, so you don't have to look it up. Oh, okay. Near Mint Edge Pro Generation 1 original trim. Has issues missing parts. $100 in parts to fix it. Can I just replace with a $200 Floyd Rose? I don't know. Here's a funny thing. I should know. This is one of those moments where you realize, like, is when you think about all the guitars you touch and all the things you do, I've never had anybody have me pull out a Ibanez bridge to put a Floyd in it. Not a real Ibanez bridge. Sometimes the lower model Ibanezes that have the fakey looking Floyd Roses, we've yanked those out and we put Floyd Roses in there, but I've never done it. So I've never really checked to see if the posts line up. And I'm doing this off memory right now. Normally, like if I was doing it for a customer, I would just look it up and look up the specs. As long as it's all about the posts. As long as the posts line up, you're fine. Otherwise, if they don't, you're going to have to pull those posts, dowel and fill them, drill them, and put the Floyd Rose posts back in there. I thought I recall that the real Ibanez Low Pro Edges are compatible with Floyd Rose, but I'm just doing off the memory, man. Please don't hold me to that. So I, as you can see, I have both Floyd Roses and Low Pro bridges, and I like them both. You know what I mean? When I say I like them both, so it don't sound like I'm copping out on anything, here's the deal. I would never replace any of my Low Pro bridges in my Ibanezes, but I would never replace any of my Floyd Roses in my guitars with a Low Pro. So I like them both. Grumpy Mike Guitar says, a rough week, but we rock on, and why not? Yeah, it has been a rough week. This might be a good way to segue into something cool I'm going to share with you guys. I'm going to share something with you guys. I'm very excited about this. This is really, I don't know why you would want to share this with me, but I'm going to share with you. I have a box. Okay, now it looks like I opened this box, but I actually didn't. I opened the box, and as soon as I opened it, and I realized when I opened it, who it was from. So as you guys know, I collect Boss pedals. I think a lot of you guys know that. I have a lot of Boss pedals, and I like them. And so I got a Wazacraft Boss pedal, and this week you would have saw it because I had it in a video, but I didn't release that video because of the events. Anyways, I posted on my personal Facebook, not the Know Your Gear Facebook, but my actual personal Facebook. I posted that I got the Wazacraft Metal Zone. Very excited, by the way. I really like it a lot. And John, the owner of Bad Cat Amps, is a friend with me on that platform. And he sent me a message, and it just said, oh, I see you collect Boss pedals too. And he goes, and I said, yeah. And he said, I'm going to send you some. So he sent me two Boss pedals. So I actually know what one is. This one I know because he goes, do you have this one? I said no. And then the other one's a little bit of a mystery. So I thought I'd share with you because this is exciting. You know what I mean? It was a really, really nice thing. I had a nice conversation with John yesterday. Obviously, when I got them yesterday, sent him a message thanking him. And then we ended up talking about Eddie Van Halen the whole time. And it was very therapeutic. So I'm opening up. Okay, so what's the first one? that he packed. He's really good, by the way. Okay, so the first one he sent me is the EH2 Enhancer. This is an old school one. This enhances the tone. This is still a made in Taiwan one, right? But I actually don't have... So, you know, when I collect boss pedals, I literally have no... I like the Japanese ones, or I like the new ones. I just like boss pedals. The only thing I don't like, so when I say I collect boss pedals, I have a lot and I collect them. I won't buy the crazy ones. I won't buy like the $400, $500, $300 ones. I won't buy ones that are getting astronomical prices. Every once in a while, I don't want to tell you guys my secret. You know what? I love you guys. I'm going to tell you the secret. If you collect boss pedals, I'll tell you what you do. You can get them on Reverb where I get them. You can find them in stores. Every once in a while, you walk in a store and you'll find one just for a beautiful price. But if you want to buy a unique boss pedal at a good price, just keep checking GuitarCenter.com's used section. Every once in a while, for some reason, they'll just get like the Hyper Metal that's like a $200 pedal. They'll just be like $38. Something silly. I don't know if they mispriced it. I don't know if the employee doesn't know anything. Whatever happens, it's every once in a while that... So now I'll never get another boss pedal there again because I told everybody. But there you go. So this is the EH2 Enhancer. I've never tried this pedal. So this will be a cool experience. I don't know if that's a cool video. Maybe I should do a video. Why not? Just turn on the camera. Nothing fancy like the old days, right? No 4 hours editing. Okay, so this, whatever this is, has a pink label. So if you guys know anything about boss pedals, you know that's kind of cool. Let me go ahead and open this. Should be like, hey, you guys can watch this unboxing. This is a weird unboxing thing, right? But I just thought it'd be fun to share. I thought it was super kind of him. Oh, this is a cool one. And I don't have this one. So what this is this is a made in Taiwan, but this is a pink label. So the different colors of labels, there's silver labels, there's black labels, there's pink labels, there's blue labels, and it all designates like the time. This pedal is an interesting pedal. This is the HR2 Harmonist. I could be wrong. I got to do this off memory. Sometimes, like I said, it's not like I'm, doing a video and I checked all everything before I start spurting out things. I'm pretty sure I know this pedal's discontinued, but I'm pretty sure it was discontinued because Harmonist is owned by like Lexicon or TC Electronics. I wonder if somebody could probably Google that and verify that in this video before we get off live. I'm pretty sure the reason this was discontinued was that name, the Harmonist, is trademarked or something, and Boss didn't have the rights, so they had to stop making this pedal called the Harmonist. So, dude, that's really cool. So I'll check these out. I've never tried either one, so these are two pedals I've never tried. So I collect Boss pedals because when the boutique pedal thing started exploding... this is years ago, and everybody was like, oh, the King of Tone pedal, $500, and all the pedals were just getting so crazy, and I found myself, like everybody, trying them all and buying them, and anybody would come out with a version of one, I would try that too, and the reality is there's a few pedals I like, but I was collecting pedals, like a lot of people, where I was buying pedals and collecting them up and saying, okay, cool. And then I started realizing, like, here's what happened. Actually, I'll tell you exactly. I was traveling a lot because I started, the YouTube thing, and I started traveling. And as I travel and visit music stores, what I started noticing was you could walk into 50 different music stores and look at their pedal selection, and half the pedals in these stores, I didn't know what they were, and they had no value to me. And everybody kept saying the same thing to me. Some clerk would always come to me and go, oh, that's a blah, blah, blah pedal, and it's made by this guy who's used to be a Sherpa for the pedal gods, and he made this pedal using, chopsticks, and I'm like, uh-huh, and he's like, and that's why it's $250, and here's what hit me one day. I'm like, I used to just want Boss pedals forever because they were, just to show you, everybody's got a different childhood. My childhood, Boss pedals, I've said this a million times. I got to say this to John 5. It's kind of a funny thing. I don't think he cared for it, but I still said it. I said Boss pedals were like Transformers and DOD pedals were like GoBots to me. I didn't have the money for Boss pedals when I was when I was a kid. They were just too expensive. This was boutique. I couldn't afford this. My first Boss pedal was a Metal Zone that I had on layaway for 3 months, 90 days. So Anyways, the point is, I started collecting Boss pedals because I started figuring out they're timeless. Every time I'd walk in a music store and I'd see the Boss pedal, I knew exactly what it is, what it's worth. I knew what they're worth. So that's why I started collecting them. A lot of them are not so great. Some of them are awesome. There's a couple hidden gems in there, that's for sure. But it's more of just something to do with my time and money and, you know, collecting something that I feel connected to and I like it. So there you go. By the way, John 5 said the same thing. He said that basically he collects Boss pedals or he buys Boss pedals because when he was a kid, they were boutique. They were the ones that you couldn't afford. So hope I didn't bore you guys to death with my Boss story. Thank you, John at Bad Cat for these two pedals. So you guys know I'm trying to buy a Bad Cat amp right now. So hopefully a review on the channel. Obviously, you know, it's crazy it sounds. A lot of companies are booming right now. I don't think he has an amp to sell me. If he does, I told him if he doesn't have an amp to sell me, I will just buy one online. John G said, I had a DOD Super Distortion, not very good. My very first pedal was the DOD American Metal. It was purple, it was missing the back door. I paid $35 for it, and it was, I think it was the most horrible thing ever. But at the time, let me tell you, dude, I would plug into that, and I would smile like I had a Marshall stack. I'd hit a chord, I'd be like, hear that? That's tone. Al John. Hey, what's up, Al John? Al John says, I collected DOD growing up. Well, you know, now we know they're cool because they were made in the USA, right? They were actually pretty good. But like I said, at the time, you know, the funny thing is I thought about collecting DOD and Boss, but Boss has, so you know, about 126 different pedals, stomp, individual stomp boxes. I don't collect the doubles. So right now, I think I haven't counted, but I'm pretty sure I'm touching 50 pedals. These two are probably going to push me over that 50 Boss pedals. That's a lot. So I'm not ever going to get the entire collection because, like I said, some of them are so crazy expensive I'm never going to buy them. But that's a lot of pedals. And then, you know, DOD too. You know what's great about DOD is if you could feel safe on stage with them, because if anyone threw a bottle at you, you could just pick up your DOD and throw it back and you could kill them with it. Those of you who probably have no idea what a DOD is, they were die-cast boxes. This is true. They were die-cast, and so it's heavy. It's a die-cast. So there you go. Oh, by the way, so you know, Al John, I will tell you one thing. If you collect DOD pedals, if you did or you still do, my favorite envelope filter is the DOD one. In fact, so much so, Nathan, I think, has every single version of that DOD filter because he's addicted to it, too. Yeah, Michael Cruz said the Slow Gear. The Slow Gear, the last one I looked at, the Slow Gear was $500, $450 or $500. Yeah, I won't do it. I've never even heard it. I've never heard of the pedal. So, so there you go. Lawrence is here. Lawrence Petros from LPD Pedal says, Boss SD1, best $49 pedal I ever spent. SD1 is probably still one of my favorite Boss pedals to this day. I have the Wazacraft one too, and I like some of the Wazacraft stuff. Obviously, I like the new Metal Zone, but I like my SD1, my basic, boring one. So Donald Aldridge says, "Hey Phil, does anyone make a reasonably priced non-tilt back neck with a banana headstock?" Yes, Kramer does. They make $179 one. I put a link. So, you know, when I did the shout out about making of the Super Strats, I put a link to one for AMS cause I saw them there, but I guess I sent it to my patrons, and before it even went live after the patrons are saying they're already sold out. So, but yeah, the Kramer guitars are super affordable, super, super good deal. But you know, let's face it, right now, if, you know, this is a weird thing I'm going to talk about, but it comes into subject now. Right now, of course, everyone is missing and grieving Eddie Van Halen. And of course, we're going to buy gear, Eddie Van Halen gear. Okay. And that's kind of why I, another reason why I wanted to do the Eddie Van Halen build series and then talk about that was because, look, we saw it. We've all seen it. If you're a gear person, you're watching this channel, you're a gear geek. We already seen it. I've seen prices not only double, quadruple, but jump five times as much as they were for Eddie Van Halen stuff. What I will tell you guys is this. If you're, please don't. I don't think you should do that. If it really, it's an emotional thing right now, so it's hard for me to say not to do something. If you're feel like you got to spend $3,000 for a guitar that only, you know, a week ago was $899, I guess do that. But you know, if you want some friendly advice, find a real retailer, a legitimate retailer, and just put one of the EVH guitars or Kramer guitars on order and wait. So that would be my suggestion. And I only tell you this because I've talked to a couple friends this week and some of them are buying EVH guitars. And, you know, and I know we're doing it. I did it. I bought some EVH stuff this week too. I couldn't help it. It's like you're like, oh, I wish I would have had that, you know, before. So there you go. I'm just giving you some advice on that. Do with it what you want. Aljon, he's saying it's too bad what happens during times like this, the price gouging. It's tough, right? It's a tough thing to watch. Yeah. It's always tough. It's always horrible to watch somebody make money off of something that off of a tragedy. But it's tough because we're not naive. We know that's when people make money, right? People, best time to buy a house, divorce and death, right? I mean, that's a saying that's been around forever. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the saying. So, yeah. Yeah, it sucks. But like I said, keep your sense about you. Here's why I'm saying this. You know, the Kramers and the EVH guitars will come back in stock. They will catch up with demand and replenish. I mean, just as a collector of stuff, there are certain guitars. And if you're thinking about it, I'm just going to give you some ideas. There's certain guitars, just think about it this way. They're never coming back. Like they're never going to make the PV Wolfgangs. Obviously they're never going to make the Music Man Wolfgangs, which weren't called Wolfgangs, but you know, the EVH, Music Mans. They're not going to make certain guitars anymore because they're not making them now and they're not going to start. So things like that, you know, that's a finite amount of product, but everything else, I'm sure Al John's here. He'll tell you this, Kramer, if they sell more guitars, Kramer will just make more guitars. So like I said, put one on order. That's what I'm saying. Put one on order. Okay, so let's get on to a different subject. Hold on. Okay, let me switch real quick and drink water while I'm doing that. Hold on. All right. I kind of had a feeling it was going. Okay. Getting a little backed up. It's, okay. David Hunter says, cheapest way to get a Mesa 22 sound. Well, obviously a pedal will, I mean, every amp that exists, there's a pedal that will get you somewhere near that sound. I mean, obviously there's always going to be a little bit of this, kind of, you know, cork sniffer, like it's never the same as the actual amp, but you can get that sound. You know what I mean? So, David, I don't particularly know a specific pedal that does that sound, but my guess is that you could Google it or look on a forum and there's a pedal for that. There's a ton of Mesa Boogie style pedals and that will get you close to that sound. And plugins now. That's the thing. Like I said, you can pretty much get any sound now. Think about it. It's all at your fingertips. You can get anything you want for any price. That's why I said, never stress it. It's always easy. It's just, there's a difference between wanting something because it means something. You're connected to it. I want that amp or that guitar because it's an emotional thing and it will feel good if I have it. I understand that concept. But if you're just like, I need that sound, there's a pedal for that. So Buzz Wilson says, I'm sure that it has been asked ad nauseum, but Would love to see you order and build a Warmoth fund to the effect. So Buzz, not the Warmoth thing this year was horrible. What happened was, Aaron, if you guys watch the Warmoth channel, which is a fantastic channel, Aaron is the guy who does that. Aaron and I talked at the NAMM show this year, and he said, hey man, I'd love for you to do a Warmoth video. And I said, hey, I would love to do something really exciting with you. And so we had concocted this amazing idea of, for the 250,000 quarter million subscribers that I hit on the channel, which is, you know, back in February or whatever, the idea was I was going to fly to Warmoth, and I was going to build two identical Warmoth guitars, give one away to one of you guys subscribers, and then keep one. The subscriber would get serial number one, I get serial number two, and it would be kind of cool because, I don't know, you know, because I was thinking, I told Aaron, I said, it'd be cool because every time I pull that guitar out and play it, the other person has it, it would be like, oh yeah, we're twins, you know, whatever. And long story short, the week I had already started setting up my airline, the hotel, getting the whole process going, and that's when COVID hit. So then, so you guys know what happened with Warmoth is they were shut down because of COVID. And so they've been playing catch up this whole time. So even though now I could go there, visit, or we could do it remote and we could do the video, the problem now is they don't need me to promote for them because they are trying to catch up to the orders you guys were putting in while they were closed. So David, my answer to that is, like, Aaron actually said this on their channel. He mentioned it. He talked about me. Same thing I just told you. He told the same story on their end. He's like, the second we can work with Film Ignite, we are. And I told Aaron the same thing. The second you guys are ready to do a build, although I'll probably change just because of the circumstances and we didn't hit that thing. I'll probably change what I do and I'll probably just do a build and maybe do a giveaway, you know, one guitar and just give it away or something like that. But yeah, that's the idea. I would love to do it. Absolutely. Absolutely love it. So, Tito says, hey Phil, thanks for the AVH live stream super strat project. What do you think about clear coding the photo of you and EVH? Oh wait, I was jumping for a second. It says, what do you think about clear coding the photo of you and EVH as a circle logo on your headstock? Thanks for always sharing. You know, I didn't think about that. I could do something like that. You know, I had a great, great, I don't know if great's the right word, made me chuckle. Somebody, I posted the picture that I told you guys the story that how I got a picture with Eddie Van Halen because I was at the Wolfgang party when I was a dealer, and that he took pictures with everybody that was there. And so I put that picture on one of my videos, and some guy sent me this nasty message, and it said, nice, or he goes, bad photo Photoshop job. And the reason why I laughed was I felt so cool thinking he thought that I knew how to use Photoshop. So you guys know, if you guys know, I have, my wife has Photoshop, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if that's what she has. Ableton, I don't know what she has. She has something. I have no idea. They have a program her and my daughter use for editing videos and stuff, or editing pictures. I have none of that stuff, okay? And I don't feel good, I don't feel right telling you guys the other two channels. But what I can tell you is there are two channels that I know that you guys watch that are huge. Like, one's like almost 2 million subscribers. Huge channels. And they actually make thumbnails the same way I do, which is on a phone app. So, but I won't say it because, you know, it's not my place to rat them out. But, so you know, so like I said, I thought it was funny. The guy was slamming me, but I was like, ah, he thinks I know how to use Photoshop. I'm like, he must think I'm like a real YouTuber. You know, I got like 20 cameras. I've got my light meter out. So anyways, I don't know why it made me laugh. It's weird how things, for some reason, instead of upsetting you, just really just tickle you. That's what it was for me. So I'm sharing. All right. Let's see. Okay. Ricardo Diaz, I saw you ask this a bunch of time. I'm going to answer what I don't know. He says, hey, Phil, can you tell me what is a good replacement tremolo for the Yamaha Pacifica 012? I don't know that particular model. I mean, I'm sure it's the same one. It looks like probably a Strat tremolo. So maybe a Godo and stuff. I can tell you this. All you have to do, Ricardo, is pay attention to the post spacing. So if your guitar has two posts, you just have to make sure whatever bridge you get has those exact same two posts lined up. And if it doesn't, it has a six screw, then it's just going to be pretty standard. The great thing about the six screw bridges is they're pretty standard. I've never come across, shouldn't say that. Every once in a while, you get some weird off-brand guitar, and its six-screw bridge is a little wonky, you know what I mean? So if you try to put a direct replacement, but I don't think that's going to be the problem with Yamaha. Usually the only problems, when you're dealing with guitars, the two things you have to focus on when you're dealing with replacement tremolos are two things. Focus on these two things, and you'll be fine. Make sure that the two posts that it connects to line up, or the six screws, and then also verify the thickness of the block, because if your guitar has got a thinner body, the block will stick out and you won't be able to put the back plate on. That is more problem for cheap guitars. You'll see that with like bullets and stuff. So you guys know I've had to replace so many bridges and like bullets and stuff over the years. Guitar Fetish, I think, has the best aftermarket parts for the thin body Squires, because they make the short blocks. That's what you need, is a short block. Back in the day, it was horrible. Like 5 years ago, we used to grind them down. You just got to get them out and just grind the stupid block down so it would fit. And I know what you're thinking. Why were you upgrading bullets? That's because people do that. Yeah, it's a thing. People buy, like this Glare guitar I'm modding up. People buy an inexpensive guitar and mod it up. People like Eddie Van Halen did it. So there you go. Carl says, Glary's trim is wonky. Yeah, I'm going through, I'll tell you, I did the neck video and I released it today. I'll be honest, I was hoping it was worse than it was. One of the things I like about videos like that is I like when I'm doing guitars like that and something goes wrong. Believe it or not, it's a great way to illustrate a point to somebody. Like, this went wrong. Let's fix this. And it just seemed to go, everything just hit, green lights. The body too is really good. I was actually shocked. The poly is weird on that guitar. It's not super thick. It's thin in spots. It's like they weird how they shot it. And the basswood, if you guys haven't seen it on Instagram, somebody commented, I agreed. The wood, the grain looks great. Like the guitar looks fantastic. I'm going to see. I haven't got to the bridge part of my Glary. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll share. A lot of people are like, put this bridge in it. Put that bridge in it. I'm like, yeah, I'll talk about that when I get there. What I'll do is I'll do exactly that. I'll go through all the options of bridges I have and then tell you which ones I think won't work, and we'll work with the body based on that. So, let's see. Francisco says, hey, Phil, will the EVH Detuno work on a floating Floyd Rose? No, not really. Remember, Eddie never floated his Floyd Rose. Tongue-tied. Eddie Van Halen never floated his Floyd Rose. That's a tongue twister. Never floated his Floyd Rose. Anyways, he never floated his Floyd Rose. It always was against the body. So he didn't have to worry about the fact that when he pulled the Detuna out, what happens is when you pull the Detuna out, the module, the thing, I don't know what you call it, the sleeve thing, you pull it back, you're essentially, because you're detuning the D, the E to a D, you're decreasing the tension of the strings overall, combined tension, which means the springs are pulling too hard now and pulls all the other five strings sharp. So now I have seen guitars that float and have detunas on them and they have worked. However, I wouldn't chance it. Like I can tell you right now, I've seen it work. I've seen people just float the bridge and put a detuna and it worked. I wouldn't gig with that. It would scare me to death that you'd pull it and all of a sudden one time it just wouldn't work. So you definitely want to look at blocking your tremolo for that. But there's an option that's really good that you should think about. There are Tremolnos, which is a type of product. There are products that instead of putting a wood block or an L bracket and making the bridge to where it can only go forward now, you can put a tremolo or devices that allows you to go, okay, if I'm going to use the detuna, what you would do is you would reach behind, lock it, or keep it locked if you know you're doing that, detune, and then you're fine. And then if you're going to not detune the D, you could then switch the little thing and then it it floats. So you'll have the best of both worlds. It's how that works. Now there's another product that's like the D-Tuna that works pretty good, but it still requires you to block the bridge. So yeah, you have to block it. Okay. All right. Hold on. Lord JP says, does the D-Tuna, and so you guys know we say D-Tuna, D like the letter D-Tuna, like tuna fish. D-Tuna is the device that is on the Eddie Van Halen guitars that you can buy from EVH that allows you to, if you have a locking system like a Floyd Rose, it's pretty much the only way you can take the E string and drop it to D. So the question is, does the D-Tuna need to be calibrated for different gauge E strings? No, it doesn't matter. You wouldn't adjust that for, like, if you went from a 42 to a 46 gauge, you wouldn't have to adjust anything. That would be an adjustment maybe to the springs of the bridge, you know what I mean? But not to the D-Tuna. The D-Tuna doesn't see that part of the equation. It doesn't see the string. So no, feel free. John says, thoughts about basswood versus mahogany. I like both, because generally speaking, you can find both pretty light when you want them. I just want the guitars to be certain. I want them to be light. I don't want them to be boat anchors. And so you guys, when I say light, I don't need the guitars to be like air. I just don't want 10-pound guitars. It's not something I'm interested in. So I really don't care. I have a G&L Tele that has a basswood body. My EVH has a basswood body. I don't know why I pointed that one, whatever. That has a basswood body. Hey, that Ibanez has a basswood body. The Glary Day. I was actually chuckling this morning when I was sending the Glary, thinking about this, going, you know, after I did the neck and I was looking at the basswood body, I'm like, you know, what's funny is this guitar that's $60, $75, it's starting to feel and look like a really expensive instrument. So, yeah, you know, basswood is inexpensive. That's why some people, you know, shun it. But obviously, John Sir loves it. He uses it. He says it's perfect when you pair it with maple. Eddie Van Halen loved it as well. So, you know, like I said, it's a good, it depends on, you know, how much you buy into tone wood will probably affect how much you think about those two woods. Like I said, I believe the type of wood, actually the density of the wood, how heavy it is, how dense it is, can change the way the guitar vibrates and therefore could change the tone. But I look at tone wood the same way, well, I was going to say like an amp, but I don't want to make it that confusing. I think tone wood matters this much. With my purple finger, it means very little to me. So, if I had two guitars with different tone woods, I feel like they sounded different because of that tone wood, I think I could actually adjust it with a pickup or the height or something like that. It's something I could accommodate for. So, then again, like I said, I'm not saying tone woods don't exist. I do think they exist. I just don't think they exist as much as other things. All right. Tone wood debate. Well, Michael, that's what I love about my tone wood debate. There's no way to fight it. You can go, it doesn't matter. And I'd be like, okay, so you think it's 0.00000% matters. I think it's 0.2% matters. I mean, why even argue that? You know what I mean? Matt Harrison saying, my Alder Tele is heavier than my Les Paul, but it sounds great. You know, it's funny. I do find heavier guitars sound better. I find that consistent in the same guitars. Again, not even talking woods. It doesn't even matter. If you give me a 10-pound Les Paul and an 8-pound Les Paul, for some reason, the 10-pounder always seems to sound better. Could be luck, could be pickups, could be all those factors, but it's just something I've consistently found over and over again. So what's funny is I like light guitars, but when I say I like light guitars, that's why I made the stipulation earlier. What I've noticed is if you get guitars that get super light, for some reason, they just don't sound as good. So it's kind of a weird thing. So I've learned for me, there's middle ground. I want the middle range. I don't want 6-pound guitars and I don't want 10-pound guitars. I just want something in the middle. Like I said, 7 to 8 pounds seems pretty easy. It's like a, It's the Goldilocks, right? I just want, you know, I just want it. I want it in the middle. Okay. Sean Brooks says, Phil, I find the weight of the wood has more effect on the tone than the actual species. I agree. Again, that's sometimes when I was saying density. Sometimes, yeah, how dense the wood is, which is sometimes what also affects its weight, obviously. I think it's because technically, if you follow the logic of the string is the sound, okay? Here's my argument. Let's play an argument. It's kind of fun, right? The argument is somebody will say, oh, the wood is the sound of a guitar. Oh, the metal bridge or the nut is the sound of the guitar. Oh, the pickups are the sound of the guitar. And I go, well, the first sound is going to be strings, and I can prove it. Here's my proof. You get the best pickup you can, the best wood you can, the best neck you can, the best nut you can, and don't put strings on it. Tell me how it sounds. So we got to start with strings. So the point is anything that affects the way the strings vibrate and move can affect the sound really, really obviously. You know, it makes a big difference. So it's a perfect example. Yeah, so I think it's a good point. It's kind of fun. Okay, so JR says, yep, more mass, better tone. Yeah, well, bass player, I mean, I'm a bass player, so bass players agree. We always want a heavy bridge. That's why they put badass bridges on everything. Okay, so let's go. Hold on, I'm seeing this, a couple of comments I was missing. Give me a second. Dark Shadow Witto says, hey, Phil, finally made it to a live stream again. Oh, it's good to see you, buddy. It says, do you have a video for changing pickups? I have been doing setups, among other things on my guitars, and I want to move upgrading pickups. I do, but they're all mixed into these Sharp MX and other videos. We were talking about, chopping out, you know, certain sections of videos and isolating them as single videos, but I actually started working on just actual, like the tech tip videos, just one-off stuff. So, you know, that stuff's coming. You're going to probably notice like 3 or 4 get relaunched in one day, just cause I can get them out there. Carl Hunt said, hey Phil, I have a net coming in for my, I think he means neck. We're going to say neck. I have a neck coming in for my Frankenstrat on the 20th. Will that be soon enough for the deadline? It will be, buddy. So like I said, when I did the video, obviously, as you can see, I'll tell you that video. You guys, the video, if you couldn't tell, some of you could. A lot of you guys, thank you so much for saying, hey, look, you looked upset. Like I said, I had just released my normal video, and I was sitting there, as I do. When I release a video, I call it babysitted. I watch the video for the first 10 minutes, maybe sometimes 15 minutes, to make sure that somebody doesn't go, hey, Phil, why is this weird? You know what I mean? And then I go, what happened? You know, it's a nice way to see if there's a problem. So I was babysitting it, and I just felt like it just didn't need to be out. Like it's not like a nothing. It's like, you know, nothing mattered. So what happened was I pulled the video offline, and then I made that video. I said, what can I do? And I go, I'm not going to do, I decided I wasn't going to do any videos for like a couple days. And then I thought, well, that's not what I want to do either. So I did that video. So in that video, when I said, hey, like a week or two, I wasn't thinking, yeah, everybody's going to need some time. So what I plan to do now is, as you notice, is every time I'm releasing one of these part one, part two of the Sharp MX of the Frankenstein Strat or Frankenstrat, I'm just reiterating that you can send me pictures and stuff to your stuff. And then what's going to happen is on the last video, I'll say, this is when you need them by. So you guys will have tons of time. So don't worry about that. Thank you, Carl. I'm glad you're going to do something. I'm really excited to see it. Says Voodoo Fist says, I just purchased the new X Atlantic you mentioned in last week's show. Okay, let's see what happened. Great pedal. Oh, so it worked out good. Says, thanks for doing all you do. Absolute best guitar channel ever. Hey, man, thank you for that. I'm glad you liked it. Like I said, I love that pedal. Let's see. Mark says, hey, Phil, I bought a Harley Benton DC Jr., knowing it's a good platform to sharpen my axe. Can you suggest a specific P90 pickup or bridge and nut for my project? I mean, you can go crazy and get some Lawler P90s that are awesome. You know, it just depends. You know what I mean? The P90s, I'll tell you what P90s I like. I tend to like the DiMarzio P90s. I like the Lawler P90s a lot. I'm trying to think, what else do I use? Those are the two I use. But like I said, I've said this so many times, P90s are one of those things I very rarely replace on guitars because I think they all sound good. They just sound punchy. Like I said, cheap P90s, the way a P90 is made and the way cheap pickups are made are almost made identically, which means they use like a big ceramic magnet. They wrap tons of wire on it. So what I'm saying is when they make cheap P90s, when they make P90s, they're kind of made cheaply. When they make cheap P90s, they're not much different. So there are certain things that are different, but not a lot. So there you go. I would spend, if it was me on that guitar, I would spend the money on some upgrading the tuners. I wouldn't even worry about the bridge. Upgraded tuning keys to some better ratio tuning keys, maybe some locking keys, you know, right, to make restrings faster, and then replace that nut. And the nut, same thing. I would, if you know how to cut a nut, use bone or graphite, and if you don't, just go with GraphTech, and you can find the exact match nut for that guitar. Matt Presley says, my first pedal was the Purple American Metal 2. Ah, yeah, we're brothers in this. Says, those battery doors always got lost. Yeah, like I said, mine started with it lost. Hold on, Matt. It says, it just jumped. It says, I just picked up a DoD compressor deal of the day last week. Yeah. Well, like I said, DoD makes good stuff. It just, like I said, back in the day, if you couldn't afford Boss, you got DoD. That was it. And DoD wasn't even the cheapest stuff. That's not what I'm implying. I mean, there was way cheaper pedals than DoD. There was all RockTech and all the plastic pedals. I mean, think about this. This is a silly thing to talk about. Do you guys remember back in the day? I always hate talking like that, but I tell my son every time I say, remember, wait, back in my day, this is a true story, by the way. I told my son that if I ever start saying back in my day at least once a day, just one night put a pillow over my face and just end it for me. That'd be nice. And he told me I was crazy. I said, yeah. I said, I'm just trying not to do that. But anyways, back in my day, getting a metal, not metal like metal, like made a metal pedal was a sign of like, wow, that's quality. You got plastic pedals, like you'd get those plastic tank pedals from Ibanez, or you get the plastic RockTech pedals, or there was Aria Pro and Series 10 plastic pedals. And so you get plastic pedals, and then one day you're like, I hope I can afford a metal one so it can, and it was just funny. So yeah. So DoD was the first, like, that was the first level, and then Boss was a little higher than that. Planet, I don't know, Selenka says, any experience with Lace Illumina tones? How do they work? I'm thinking about replacing EMGs in an authentic single cut. I, for some reason, just a lot of players are like me. I just cannot find the love for the Illumina tones. I love the idea. They look cool as hell. And I've actually seen them in some guitars like Strandberg's, and they did okay. They were good guitar pickups. However, I installed a set many years ago on a guitar and just did not love it. Got rid of those. And then since then, I've picked up a few guitars here and there, and I don't know what it is. The term sterile comes to mind, but I feel horrible as soon as I say that loud, because it's not. It's not that. It's not like they're bad pickups. They're just, I'm just not falling in love with them. But I love the idea. Something different, a different technology, but just not my thing. So let me ask you this. So this is where it gets tough. You're saying that you're going to replace think of replacing your EMGs. I like EMGs more than Illumina tones. I know it sucks because, you know, it's probably not what you want to hear, because you're like, hey, you want the Illumina tones. But do what you like, man. If you had, like I said, but my experience with Illumina tones and EMGs, I would stick with EMGs. I like EMGs, though. I just do. Jaturi says, Kramer never could keep Beretta specials in stock. Well, that's because everybody wants a damn Kramer. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And Al John was here earlier. I don't know if he's here now. But I'll tell you this, what I feel. Look, Kramer, the thing that sucks right now with Kramer is that as much as I hate to say this, I'm kind of getting there, getting built up. We're building up. What am I going to say? Here's what I'm going to say. Kramer does not get the love from Gibson, in my opinion, that Jackson gets from Fender. That's what I feel. Okay. I feel like if you would just unleash the Kramer beast, we would buy them. But for some reason, there's this apprehension every year. It's like, hey, we got two new models. Hey, we added a color. And then it's slow makings to get those out. It's Al Johnson is still here. So it's just, that's how I feel. I feel that way. I just feel like if there was more Kramers, that I don't think there's a, here's what's funny about this. When I think of companies that from back in the day, like Jackson and Kramer and BC Rich and Ibanez really didn't count. Really, if we want to focus on Charvel Jackson, Charvel Jackson, Kramer, BC Rich. I think for some reason, in my opinion, Charvel and Kramer always seem to really, really. Al John's saying it's changed. So you're getting it from Al John. I believe Al John. So you know, every time I've Al John's a straight shooter. So you know. So good. I'm glad to hear that. Because like I said, it's not the guitars aren't great. They're great. I just always feel like more. We need more. And so yeah. I always feel like so you know, every once in a while I go, maybe I need a Kramer. And I go on like AMS and they're out of stock and I'm like, I don't know. Should I put it on? Don't you guys hate sometimes putting on the whole order and then you have to wait? You're like, you know, I need that instant gratification. I need that Amazon instant gratification. I need to click it and know it's on its way. Right? It's getting really bad. I told you guys, you buy stuff now on Reverb and you, like 20 minutes after you buy it, you're like, I still haven't got a tracking number yet. It's been like 20 minutes. It's only 2 o'clock in the morning. What could they be doing? Eddie says, what happened to BC Rich? You know, they got new ownership and they're coming out with new products and, you know, COVID. I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, if you could imagine the most horrible thing ever, which is BC Rich took new ownership basically into last year, wasn't able to release product at the NAMM because it wasn't, you know, wasn't ready. So they didn't go to NAMM, which is fine. And then released the new product, but you know, it's COVID. So yeah, there you go. Okay, hold on. Christopher Bay says, BC Rich is back, baby. Only $1,500 for an Indonesian import. You know, I'd love to jump on you and go, yeah, I'm with you. But dude, I'm sorry. We're going to have to, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it is what it is. Indonesian guitars are commanding that now. You know what? I've heard this. I'm not the only person to say this. I've heard this many times. Strandberg, I think, has made this mess. Once Strandberg started making $2,500 Indonesian guitars, on top of the fact that Ibanez was already doing that, they were making $1,500 Indonesian guitars, gems, you know, and stuff. Once that happens, it's like the other companies go, well, if they're going to get $2,500 for a Strandberg, I could get at least $1,500, right, for a guitar. I thought the BC Riches, though, all the new ones, and I could be wrong, I thought they all came from World. Bill, the guy who runs BC Rich right now, who's the guy who actually worked for Davin Hanser and ran BC Rich back in the day, he was on the Tone Kings channel. This is a way back a couple months ago when it all, you know, before the COVID thing was kicking. And I thought that's what he said, was that they had World Manufacturer make all the BC Riches. And that's why they're not doing they're not doing tiers. They're just doing one kind of guitar, which is this $1,200 to $1,500 guitar, decked out, but from Korea, and then they're going to do some USA custom stuff. But again, I know very little. You know what I mean? I know the owner of BC Rich is a rock star. It's true, from a band I really like, and I haven't touched a guitar. That's it. I haven't even seen BC Rich in person, the new ones, anywhere. Not even, you know, other than the pictures. Ken Solo says, if Gibson did go all out with Kramer, you would have price tags starting at $4,000. Well, they have that at everyone else too. That's not a thing. They have $4,000 Jacksons. They have $4,000 Charvels. They have $4,000. I mean, so yeah. So, I'm not a $4,000 buyer, but there are dudes that would right now, if they could get an American made Kramer decked out in the way they want for $4,000 or $5,000, there's guys I know right now that pull the trigger. I'm more of a like a $1,000 made in Indonesia Kramer kind of guy. You know what I mean? But still, you know what I mean? But I, like I said, it's not that I want them to do high-end stuff. I, like I said, what I was saying earlier with Kramer is, what I'm noticing is more, just more guitars. Kramer did a lot of crazy stuff over the years, a lot of cool guitars. So it'd be nice to see like more limited runs of that stuff, more of the graphics stuff. I'm still, so you know, I'm a huge Skid Row fan, huge, massive Skid Row fan. And so when they did the Dave the Snake Sabu Kramer this year at the NAMM show, I'm not making this up. I was going through my phone after NAMM show and I took 11 pictures of it over the couple days the show. So, I don't know why. I don't know why one picture is different than the others. But when I was going through my phone, I'm like, why do I have so many pictures? But they're not all together. It's not like I went snap, 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 snap. I'm talking like I took a picture at a couple angles, like 2 or 3 pictures. And then the next day I went by the booth and I took some pictures of some guitars. And then I took pictures of that guitar again. It's kind of funny. I'm like, it's funny how that works with you. You know what I mean? So I have 11 pictures of that guitar. Let's see. All right. Okay. Hold on. I'm just looking at comments, looking at time. We're doing good. We got some time. What else do we got? We got Brett. Brett, what does he want to say? He wants to say, what do you think of the future? Wait, what do you think the future of EVH brand will be? I think it would feel strange to see new products come out of, that Ed obviously wasn't part of. You know, I see that point. That's a great point. I don't think let me put it to you in a way that makes hopefully a lot of sense. There's a thing that I think is really cool in particular with Eddie Van Halen's situation with his passing. Okay. You have to understand that there are a few rock stars of any level, much less of Edward Van Halen's level, that when they pass away, the estate is going to then be run by somebody that matters. His son and him, Wolfgang, not only are close, not only are they best friends, not only are they musicians, co-bandmates, not only the father-son, not only every tie you can imagine to have with a person, do they have that tie. But Wolfgang has had input into the EVH brand. He's been a active participant with his father in this brand. One of the things I've always complained about, I used to complain all the time when I could get the guys at EVH to listen to me, that, you know, Wolfgang has EVH basses, but they never made the basses. And I would tell them, I go, you need to make that bass, a Wolfgang bass. They need to do that. But what I'm trying to say is, look, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but like when Jimi Hendrix died, you should read these stories. Jimi Hendrix died, you know, his father inherited everything, and then he like turned it over to an attorney, and then the attorney like embezzled all the money. I think it's because his dad was like a janitor and he didn't know what to do with it. And then now the sister, believe it or not Jimi Hendrix's brother, I think he got like a gold record and a guitar. The sister, who's like an adopted sister, got it. And so what I'm trying to say is it's really interesting. Yes, somebody's saying, Sparkle Tune Official says Hendrix didn't play the Digitech Hendrix pedal, right? Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. This is something I think different. And I think this is what I hope for, and I think it's going to happen. I think Wolfgang is going to be a key member of the rolling out of future EVH products. And who better to know what his father may want? And to be honest with you, in a weird way to say this, we might even get better things because better products. I don't want to say better products. I don't mean better quality. I mean better, more stuff, because you got to understand there's certain things like Eddie doesn't need the money, right? Okay, so we know that. He was worth like $90 million. I don't know what he's worth now. He could be worth more. But when I was an EVH dealer, he was worth $90 million. And so the reason I say that is because, you know, he wasn't selling EVH guitars, you know, solely for the money and stuff. There was more going on. So what I'm saying is sometimes now you're going to have the son, and the son is going to be able to say, you know, is this going to honor my father? This is a great thing, you know. But more importantly, Wolfgang will think of the fans too. He'll be like, what do they want? You know what I mean? And Eddie, so you know, when I was a dealer, every answer to every question I've ever asked, and you guys know, I'm a little difficult. Every time I would talk to EVH in person, Every answer was because Eddie wanted it that way. That was every answer. How come you don't put reverb in the head? Eddie doesn't use reverb. Yeah, but players want reverb. Eddie doesn't use reverb. Why do we do it this way? Why don't you make a blah, blah, blah in this color? Eddie doesn't want to do that way. Right? It was whatever Eddie did. In fact, you know, so that's what I'm saying. So I think we might get like the best of Eddie Van Halen's ideas and stuff, but maybe not Eddie worrying about or thinking about like, hey, you know what, this is what I would do, so make that. You might have Wolfgang going, okay, not only what would my father do, but what would the fans want? We might have some ideas, because there's some cool stuff that Eddie had that we haven't seen yet. Another thing, so you guys know, I don't know if you guys know this, James Brown, the guy who made the 5150 amp, he's working for EVH. So it's very possible that Eddie and James Brown and EVH have been working on something this whole time. And then Timothy says, my PV5150 has reverb. Yeah, your combo. Yeah, the combo. The combo amps have reverb on the EVH brand as well, not the heads. So Eddie says, so what you're saying, Phil, is that Eddie was the man. Yeah, he was the man. And, you know, think about this. Have you ever looked at the branding on Eddie Van Halen product? You should pay attention to it. When you see his guitar cables and his picks, the slogan on them is, this is what I use. Literally, it's what he uses. So it's like, like I said, I think we're going to see hopefully something better than we've ever seen before when it comes to artists, products and stuff, because of the fact that we have such a close family member and close family taking care of it. You know what I mean? And I don't know if Wolfgang's in charge of it. It could be, you know, Alex and Wolfgang and the wife and, you know, all that stuff. But we definitely know this. I mean, dude, you guys should read stories. Some rock stars, when they pass away, like they don't even have, they're not even, their family got the stuff. It was just some person they knew. I think it's what happened to Jim Morrison, right? His girlfriend inherited everything, and then the family, I think that's the story. Jim Morrison's girlfriend inherited everything, and then her and his family fought forever, and then finally she won, and the day she won, she went and bought a Volkswagen Beetle and some cocaine and then died that day, and then her family, and then her parents won it. It's like crazy stories. You should read. They're crazy out there. So like I said, I don't think we're going to have that problem with this, because like I said, that was such a close-knit family with Wolfie and Eddie. Let's see. Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me get back to the things, questions, stuff on task. Next one was from Miguel. Miguel says, are Gibsons and Epiphone pots knobs? I'm going to say, okay, interchangeable. So like potentiometers, yes and no. Here's why. So you're saying pot knobs. I'm assuming we're talking about potentiometers. So let's keep it on the easy plate. The Epiphones, for the most... Well, first of all, you got to now consider the fact that Epiphone and Gibson all use these PC board stuff, and that's all that stuff integrated. But let's just keep it simple. I think the main issue would be Epiphones as a whole, like a lot of guitars that are imported, the potentiometer shafts are going to be smaller in diameter than the American ones. So they would fit in the holes of the Gibson. Usually when you upgrade your potentiometers in your Epiphone, you're going to have to remount the holes for the larger shafts if you're going to use American made or better quality components. When I say better quality, I'm not saying the other stuff's crap. I'm saying to improved, higher quality. So... to some degree interchangeable, but I'm going to say for the most part, no, you still have to do a little work. The Smelly Cats Jazz says, hey, Phil, any plans on trying any of these crazy 8 or 9 strings? I picked up an 8 string to try, and they aren't as intimidating as I originally feared. You know what? I feel kind of bad. It was about 2 weeks ago. I think I set up 3 8 strings in the same, not the same week. So 2 in 1 week and 1 in the other week. Set them up. You know, doing fret work, restringing them, and I knew the customers really well, almost like friend customers, you know, actually in some cases, yes. And I was thinking like, oh, they wouldn't care if I just made a video with this guitar. I thought about doing it. I didn't do it. I love seven strings. I just, eight strings, just not my thing. I try to connect to it. I just don't. I feel like everything I do on it, I go, yeah, I could just do this on a seven string. There's nothing, you know, I don't know. So, but no, and I'll never, you know, so I'll never play a nine string. I just don't. You know, it's funny. If I do ever do an eight string on the channel, you know what I should do is the Strandberg eight string is probably my favorite eight string. Scott Miller says, hey, Phil, have you tried the Electric Guitar Company's aluminum guitar? Okay. Have you ever tried the aluminum Travis Bean necks? I have not. The thing about doing a weekly podcast where I talk to you guys, it's tough because I also at the same time do these videos. It's tough because then I tell you guys stuff and sometimes it doesn't happen. And I've done this now. I feel like it's like every time I go, oh, I have this coming, and it just never shows. And then I'm like, why did I say that live? But I'm going to do it again because why not? I have an aluminum guitar neck coming. I don't know when the company I'm working with. We're doing something fun. It's been in the making for months. Something cool, something exciting. And the other thing I can tell you that's cool about it is if you've seen some videos like Tyler Larson and some other people have some great cool videos with some aluminum necks, that's not those, not that company, something different. So something that really piqued my interest, so to speak. A lot of times when you guys see wacky guitars on these YouTube channels, those companies reach out to a bunch of YouTube channels. I don't know why, but I always just go, nah. So, although I think it'd be good clickbait, and if I was a better YouTuber, I would probably, yes, give me this wacky thing and people will watch this video of this. But instead, my practical brain kicks in and goes, who the hell's going to buy that?